Listen up, all you golfers out there. You need to take a short drive to Acorns Golf Links. The family-owned and operated facility is located just 20 minutes from the JB Bridge. Once you arrive at Acorns, it's obvious it's more than just a top-notch golf experience. It's your chance to get away from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine. You'll notice over 65 identified bird species, rolling countryside, and a beautiful park-like setting. The Acorns experience is unmatched in value in the St. Louis area. Visit acornsgolflinks.com for more details and tee times.
All the names through miracles and six gold games, we bleed blue, and that will never stop. But this time we're not giving in to Bobby Orr or Eisenman. This time we're gonna hear that champagne pop. We want the cup.
It doesn't rhyme with pop.
Lord Stanley's Cup. We want our names engraved. We want our own parade. We're not giving up.
Sounds kind of like a religious song.
It does. The riff sounds like something they'd play like
a retreat, at a high school,
like one of those big churches, like a mega church.
Joel
where
Osteen.
Like trying to make it appealing to young people.
Right.
Hey, we have our own rock band. This is Hip Dogma. Take a listen.
I like this tune.
Yeah, I do too. I like the effort.
Yeah.
And you know what? We do want the chalice.
Yeah, I mean, it's an accurate statement. Is this Striper? Nurse? Seamaster just said we have to reboot the phones.
If
the phones
I knew,
not working.
If I 1876.
I mean, there was a cell call made in 1900. Striper, popular 80s hair band that I think had a biblical message behind it. And they wore black and gold, kind of like Vianney, Home of the Father, Sundance. Yeah, no, it's very
or like Mizzou.
Well, they were the Bumblebees.
Yeah.
Now, did Vianney steal Michigan's helmets?
I think Michigan stole Vianney's helmets.
Is that right?
Yep.
Also, Delaware, I believe. Delaware, the Blue Hens.
Oh, sure.
Also
same
have
thing.
Those Wolverine helmets.
I don't know. Well, who had them first?
I'm guessing Michigan.
Probably. That's probably been around longer than Vianney.
Michigan is like the... I think they're... If not the winningest program of all time, they're right up there because they won like every game in 1901 when they played like the YMCA from Ann Arbor and other teams and schools like that.
Right. Well, that's an interesting thing to look into. Who had those helmets first? Yeah, maybe not.
Either way, it'll be interesting.
To see how it all shakes out.
Well said. Doug, it's the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We broadcast from the Gateway Buick GMC studio. Salt and Smoke would be a lovely choice. I see Timberfake headed over there after being in our studios yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He had a toast with Tom and Chelsea, and they enjoyed some fine bourbon.
Really? Just at lunchtime? A little bourbon snack at lunchtime.
So
he hits it hard.
Yes, he does. He ponies up. Salt and Smoke, the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Kelly Chase, brought to you by GFI Digital. That's coming up at 8:30 right now. It is our pleasure to welcome to the Appliance Discounter phone lines, Matthew Barnaby. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Tired.
Tired.
Yeah, you're not on the East Coast.
Yeah. So did you stay up? Be honest with me. Did you stay up for that? I bet you did.
I stayed up for most of it, and then I recorded it, and then got up early this morning and watched the rest
of it.
Yeah,
that's the move sometimes. I bet. Did you know the result when you woke up and started watching it on DVR?
No, never look at Twitter.
That's the move, isn't it?
Stay away from the phone and never look at Twitter.
That's the move. So if you're watching that first overtime, my guess is you're thinking, wow, the Blues are going to break through because the Blackhawks were back on their heels. Were they not, in your opinion?
Yeah, they were. I thought St. Louis was going to take that game yesterday. I said it on my show and thought that being at home would be the move for them to move on. But, yeah, at points, it certainly looked like that. At points, it looked like Chicago was just going to run away with the game early on, and the resilience of the team gave them the chance to come back and give them that opportunity. But at times in overtime, yeah, it looked like St. Louis was going to take it. But we knew it was going to be hard. If there's two teams that are going to be hard to knock out, it's going to be Chicago, obviously, and the Los Angeles Kings.
You think Chicago gets a momentum shift out of this, or does it not matter when they drop the puck on Saturday?
You know what? I believe in momentum. Once you get there, and it carries over for a few minutes. But you know, you have to create your own momentum. And a lot of coaches out there don't believe in momentum from game to game. I believe in it for a few minutes, and then it's status quo. It's creating the momentum from that game and carrying on throughout from it. So I do believe in a little bit of momentum, but once you're in that game, so many variables happen, penalties that create momentums for either your team or the other team within that game alone.
Matthew, as great as this series has been and hopefully will be for another game or two, it's kind of unfortunate, too, though, that it's a first-round series because you could see, arguably, this could be the two best teams in the West playing in the first round.
That's the really hard thing about it. And before the playoffs started, I said you could be really good and be Chicago, or be really, really good and be St. Louis, and get knocked out in the first round. And that's just life in the West, the Western Conference, and that division especially. You got some great teams, and St. Louis, like I said, I picked them when I talked to you earlier on, and they could end up going through and knocking out the defending Stanley Cup champions, who's a great team still, and Chicago could find a way to knock out St. Louis. And unfortunately, we have that same conversation that we have year after year and wonder what went wrong. Well, when you play a great team like Chicago, this is what could happen. They find a way to win, and they found a way to win last night's game and are going to have a Game 6 at the United Center.
Four of the five road teams have won games in this series. Do we just overrate home ice advantage, or what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I think nowadays is different than, say, 20 years ago or even 15 years ago. I really think that teams are so good on the road now, and the parity is so close, but at the same time, there's not that intimidation factor in the physical aspect of playing on the road, where you used to go to maybe to St. Louis or to Chicago or from where I played in the Eastern Conference, go to Philadelphia, and you knew it was going to be a battle. You knew you were going to, you know, maybe have to fight if it got out of control. And just so many things went into your mind. So I think home ice is a little overstated. At the same time, it's always nice to play in front of your own fans. It's always nice to have last chance. But is there that much difference playing on the road than at home? Not much anymore. That physical presence just isn't there like it used to be.
Matthew, Blues fans kind of carry the burden of past playoff failures and all that. Then you look at this most recent run under Ken Hitchcock, and, you know, I'm not saying they will, but if the Blues were to lose in the first round, it would be four first-round upsets. And again, the fans and media, we talk about that a lot. But do you think the players, as now we go back to Chicago, the Blues are feeling a little bit more of the pressure if they didn't already? Do you feel like that creeps into the mind at all of a player now that, you know, they're thinking about, oh, could this happen again?
I don't think it does. I think it's more, honestly, for everyone outside of it. They're still thinking, guys, we're up 3-2. We didn't think this was going to be a sweep series. We know we're playing a very good team. We know this is a very close series. So, no, I don't think I don't think David Backes and Steve Ott and these guys are thinking about, hey, oh, we haven't made it this far, and there's so much pressure on us. They're thinking, we're up 3-2. We're going to Chicago. We're in the driver's seat, and we have a chance to knock off the Stanley Cup champions. And I think that's their mindset, not thinking about the pressure of losing. And a lot of athletes don't, for the most part, think about the pressures. They think about the now, and they think about the good things that could happen, not the bad.
You talked about how the physical nature may have changed over the years. Do you like it now, or do you like it back in the old days when there seemed to be brawls and fights in all these playoff games?
I probably like a mixture of the two. I think I love the talent and the skill and the speed of the game right now, and I like where we're at that way. But I also do miss the ebbs and flows of being able to change a series through the physical nature and having that intimidation factor a little bit. But if I had to choose one or the other, only because it's a safer game now, and it's a lot more talented, a lot faster. Like I said, the hockey has never been better. And we complain during the regular season that we want more goals. We want 1,000 more goals as a whole for the league. I never hear that same comment when we get to the playoffs. It could be a 1-0 game, a 2-1 game, and we're very happy. So you look at this series alone, to me the two best series so far have been Chicago-St. Louis and Los Angeles-San Jose. They've been terrific. They've been fast. They've been physical at the same time. It's the new NHL, and we understand that, where there's not going to be that brawl every game, and I'm okay with it.
And Matthew, when Panarin scores that goal with less than a second to go in the second period yesterday, and the Blues are down two goals headed to the third, I think a lot of people, you know, wondered if they'd even get back in that game. And maybe in years past they don't, but they tie it and force an overtime and a second overtime, where maybe that wouldn't happen in the past, and they just, you know, the third period goes a different way. Have you seen anything from this year's team? I know it's only five games, but that shows you it is different than in years past, that this team does kind of have something different in it, that it can come back from things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. When they went, when that goal was scored, I was thinking, maybe I'll catch an early little nap here and check the Twitter out early in the morning. This game might be over, but is it a different group? It's a much different group. I think in talking to a few guys that play there, they have that belief. Not that they don't have belief every year, but it's a different tone in their voice. The main thing starts in net, and when you get the saves that they're getting from Brian Elliott in this series, it gives you confidence. And I think they're a very confident group in their goaltending, where in years past, you could hear it in the subtleties of their voice that maybe they were lying to us a little bit in the confidence, and they had something in the back of their mind. But you look at the young kids that they have. Obviously, the defense, adding a Colton Parayko, especially to that group. You look at a Robbie Fabry and a Schwartz to this group that was already very good, but they have a little bit more of a dynamic to come back when they are down. I think that's the important thing. They've always had a lot of character. They've always been very good defensively, but now they have a few extra pieces up front as well from the back end, when you look at a Parayko, to be able to withstand going down and being down 2-0 with a period to go. I don't think in years past that they had the firepower to come back against the Chicago. Now they do. They're in any game at any time.
Would you expect the Blues to do anything different in Game 6 to try to get an edge, or do you just keep doing what you're doing and hope it's enough?
I think you keep doing what you're doing. I think their game plan is to get pucks behind this defense. They really play with 3.5 defensemen, like they won it last year with 4.5. But they're very thin on the back end, and we know that Seabrook, we know that Duncan Keith is going to play 30 minutes, but to wear them down, I thought in Game 4 especially, they were very physical on Duncan Keith. I just expect the same. The key will be, again, to be physical, stay out of the box, and capitalize on your opportunities. If they can do that, they have a great chance of winning the series. Let's not forget, they're still in the driver's seat. If anyone would have asked any fans in St. Louis at the start of the series, if we are up 3-2 going into Chicago for a Game 6, I don't think you have one person in St. Louis or on that team that wouldn't have taken that. I'm certainly confident that that's a position that they relish being in.
Yeah, and also played so damn well. I really feel like, and I'm curious, I know first off you got to watch a billion games, and oftentimes they're simultaneously going on, but with the exception of the final 5 minutes of the second period last night, Matthew, I feel like it's either been evenly matched probably for about 90-95% of the play throughout the five games, or the Blues have had the Blackhawks on their heels. Really, that final 5 minutes of the second period was the first time as a Blues fan and a talk show host I was going, wow, the Blackhawks really are in control here, and the Blues are dodging bullets left and right. Has that been your analysis of this thing? I mean, it's from my standpoint anyway, it's sick evenly played.
Yeah, I really think it's 50-50, guys. I think it could be, this series could be over for the Blues, and the Chicago, honestly, could have won, you know, three of the first four games as well. So it's been very tight. You need good goaltending. You need to get through those five-minute segments, those spurts, and that'll be important to weathering the storm. We know it's going to be insane when they get back to the United Center with that crowd behind them. But at the same time, it's been a very evenly matched series. And something we thought when I predicted the series at the start, I had Blues in seven. A lot of people had Chicago in seven. Certainly, we know how close these teams are. And I think we can go back to years in the past. Just because you lose in the first round doesn't mean you are not a good hockey team. Sometimes you run up against a good team. It'll be the same thing if Chicago gets knocked out in six games. It's not like they are a disappointment or a bad team. They ran up against a very good St. Louis team that was ready to play. So this next game is going to be fun to watch. It's going to be must-see TV, and I can't wait for it to get started.
Hey, Matthew, I'm curious about this. You played the game for 14 years, and now you're hosting a show on SiriusXM NHL Radio. And I'd be curious what you think about this. We played it in the 7 o'clock hour for our audience. You may have heard it. You may not have. But either way, I want to get your perspective on what Pat Foley had to say. Take a listen to this last night on the NBC broadcast.
This is the third time in five games that a start time of 8:42 local was mandated. I can say with certainty, players cannot stand these late starts. Coaches cannot stand them. Most importantly, the fans can't stand them. So as we approach midnight Eastern again on a work night, a school night, a simple question. An 8:42 puck drop, sir.
And then they cut out of it, but he says they cut out of it, and that's why you hear the commercial. He goes on to say, who does that benefit? What are your thoughts on these start times and the fact that for those of you on the East Coast or in the Eastern time zone, that thing ended at 1:30, and here locally and in Chicago, it ended at 12:30.
I think they should give every one of us free coffee for a year from Starbucks. I think that should be the deal. Anyone that watches the game, there's got to be some kind of chip that tells us. We know that. You know what? I understand the networks. I understand them staggering. I understand them trying to get as many, but I agree with that. When you look at the time that it starts, we're such a creature of habit and going through our daily routines, that's late. It's really late, and for us, at the end of the day, who cares about us having to stay up late? I feel more for the players because on the daily routines, yeah, it's really tough to stay in it for that long, and they're the ones that have to play the game, and it's just a lot later to be able to go through your routine and compete and put on a great show the later you go, and it could affect you later on down the road. And then you look at the young kids that love to watch the St. Louis Blues if you're from St. Louis and wake and their parents are telling them, oh, you got to go to bed halfway through the first period. Yeah. I don't think it's great all the way around, and hopefully they do something about it, but I certainly do understand from his point of view all the way around. But then I also get the networks trying to get the most viewers that they can from all the other different network cities around the country.
A lot of people sharing your opinion this morning. I'm quite certain of that. Matthew Barnaby, 14-year veteran of the NHL and now host on SiriusXM, one of our favorite guests here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Matthew, we appreciate the time, man. Look forward to talking again. Thanks so much.
Sounds good. Good luck, guys. It'll be fun to watch.
Can't wait. Thank you. That's Matthew Barnaby with us on the appliance discounter phone lines. The thing is, it's an easy, you know, I always describe these things that, you know, you can get a bunch of people at the table and on your side is populist rhetoric. But you also have to have come up with a solution. And I truly don't know necessarily what the solution is because I recognize the fact that NBC paid an absurd amount of money and they want to try and bring as many people to the table. And if you have last night, you had two games in the Eastern time zone, two games in the Central time zone. I don't really know what the solution is outside of having all of these games going on at the same time. And so that's a tough spot for the network from a place to put the games, but then also from a maximizing eyes. But God, it's really brutal. And because the Blues haven't been to the second round, I was wondering about this. Does this go on in the second round as well? You know, because now you're going to have for certain, well, actually it's not necessarily for certain if Nashville were to beat the Ducks, but you're going to have at least one team in the Pacific time zone. And I don't know if the Blues and what looks like the Stars, if the Blues, of course, are able to get through, would be starting at nearly 9 o'clock for those as well. I don't know.
Obviously, I would assume
half,
you would.
Half the teams will be gone, so you won't be dealing with the logjam of teams that you deal with in the first round.
Well, it'd be nice if they could do what CBS does with the NCAA basketball tournament, is farm it out to some cable network so you can get all the games on. It's just on a different channel.
Right. But they're trying to maximize by splitting it up, and then that. I mean, I get what they're doing, and it's not as easy as just start it at 7 because they spend money and they got to get their return. I get that. It's just really brutal. And he's right. And we heard about this after the first game. You know, this isn't staffing. Stasny said it to Pang after game one. You know, this is unique to us. We get used to a routine, and now we're starting at, you know, 8:43. They'd say it's 8:30 at this point. Now everybody's hip to the BS that is. They know it's going to be 8:43. And, you know, from a routine standpoint. But I truly do. You know, this is such even if the Blues will lose it, don't get me wrong, it'll be disappointing. And to lose a 3-1 series would be really bad, a 3-1 series lead. This is different than the Minnesota series last year. And it's even different than the Chicago series the year before. And it's different to me than the Kings series. And I realize in two of those three, the Blues had a 2-0 series lead. So those were super disappointing. But, I mean, these teams are just, as Barnaby said, they're 50-50. And it's an absolute battle. But outside of that, from a fan standpoint, the quality of these games, the intensity as a fan to watch this. I just can't recall a playoff series like this. I really can't. And that doesn't mean that it hasn't happened, because it can be prisoner of the moment crap. But I can't recall a playoff series the Blues have been involved in where there is rarely, if ever, room to breathe as a fan, and obviously, therefore, room to breathe as a player. I mean, how often of all of the minutes played at this point, and it's not as simple as multiplying 5 times 6 because we've had two overtime games, but you're talking about, I would guess, around 400 minutes of hockey at this point, where of those 400 minutes, there was a two-goal lead or greater. I don't believe there's been anything greater than a two-goal lead, if I'm not mistaken. It was brief. It's been one goal or tied the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of it, the pace of play for much of it has just been absurdly, and it's two rivals. It's great stuff. So my point in relation to what we were discussing with Barnaby and what Pat Foley had to say on the broadcast last night that was Chicago's but also went out throughout North America on NBC Sports Network is this. This is a great series as far as an asset for growing the game, both locally and nationally. And unfortunately, a good portion of the country, and especially young people, aren't able to stay up to watch it. And that's a missed opportunity for the NHL.
Mm-hmm. I will say this, though. I guess what Matthew Barnaby said at the end, which we don't think about, is, you know, on the West Coast, this is a 6:42 puck drop. And on Rocky Mountain time, Doug, it's 7:42. So you do have the other half of the country that we don't really think about. It is more of a normal start time for them. They are trying to maximize how many people, how many eyes across the entire country. So they are in a bit of a tough spot, but it does definitely bother us here in the Central Time Zone, and even more so people watching in the East.
Never mind us. It bothers the players.
Yeah. Rob is on the Appliances Counter phone lines, Doug.
Hello, Rob.
Good morning. I want to address the situation. I'm a Blackhawks fan. And it's the same mentality that Busch Stadium has carried for years, and now it's carried over to the Scott Trade Center. The way the Blackhawks fans have been treated in that building is ridiculous. We can't cheer. We can't say anything. We get thrown out left and right. We're all watching from the windows, the TVs in the concession stand. We turn around and say, yeah, take that goal. We get thrown out. There's a zero-tolerance policy with the Blackhawks fans. It's just ridiculous. It's the same as going to Busch Stadium. You can't stand up and cheer or do anything. It's disgusting.
I've heard lots of Blackhawk fans cheering. I don't see anybody getting thrown out. They literally grab you and throw you out of the building.
Yes, I've seen chokeholds. I've seen everything. And the second home game last Friday, I was sick and tired of this old couple who was sitting there like they were on their couch in their living room. Every time Duncan Keith would touch the puck, they'd yell, "Put that criminal in jail. He's terrible. He shouldn't even be out here." And just, you know, saying things about the Hawks. And I turned around finally after a period and a half and said, "You know what? You don't know a dang thing about hockey." They called the policeman over, and he stood there and reprimanded me for 3 minutes that I am not allowed to say a word to any other fan, or I was going to be tossed, and if I didn't leave, I'd be arrested for trespassing.
Well, why would you come to St. Louis's building and start telling the fans what they should and shouldn't say? You don't think someone's going to have a problem with hockey? Well, that's your opinion. Did anybody come up and start screaming at you?
Oh, Doug, so I guess we should sit there on our hands, huh?
Well, you can sit there however you want to sit there. But I'm saying it's not really your part to turn around and start screaming at two old people because you don't think they know the game.
They're screaming in my ear the whole time, but how dare I say something? And, you know, even the guy that works the red light for the goal down there, he even said, you know, the Chicago fans are the biggest jerks out of any NHL team that comes to town.
Yeah.
That's a bull crap reputation. It's not true.
How do you know?
Yeah.
Now,
who interviewed the guy
operates
the red light?
I'm not a Cardinals or a Cubs fan, but now I know what it's like to be a Cardinal fan and deal with moronic Cubs fans, because that's what the Hawks fans have to deal with Blues fans.
And you're actually being thrown. You're telling me you're being thrown out of the building for cheering for the Hawks.
Have you seen how many Hawks fans are lined up on the windows having to stare back in the building at the concession stand TVs because we get thrown out?
No, I have not. I haven't seen that.
Well, pay attention, Doug.
Well, that's not really what I'm interested in, is going to the concourse and seeing who got thrown out.
Well, I'm telling you what, this whole usher mentality that Busch Stadium's carried for years is now in the Scott Trade Center, and this whole St. Louis mentality is ridiculous. ridiculous. You got to sit there and be quiet, and you can't cheer, and you can't be a fan. Give me a break.
Well, I hear an awful lot of people cheering. The building was awfully loud last night. I don't think they're telling very many people
Blues
that they
fans,
can't cheer.
You can say whatever you want, but the Hawks fans can't say a word. Although, because Grandma and Grandpa might get offended.
I don't buy what you're saying. I don't believe that you can't stand up and cheer a Hawks goal or a play and you're going to get thrown out. I just don't believe it.
How dare we say a word to any Blues fan, though, that's chirped the whole game. We say one thing, we're gone.
Well, they're probably worried that you're going to start a fight or something.
Worried. Okay, Doug, is that profiling?
Doug, are you profiling?
It might be. It might be. But they're going to do their best to prevent fights in the stands, sure.
Oh, okay, but the Blues fans can say whatever they want, but the Hawks fans can't.
We're the best.
Well, I think the Hawks fans probably say a lot of things without policemen coming up and yelling at them. I have a hard time believing that every time a Hawk fan opens his mouth, an usher or a policeman comes and starts yelling at him.
I experienced it firsthand, Doug, and all I said was you don't know a thing about hockey.
Well, so why are you being aggressive towards another fan?
That's not aggressive. I had to listen to their chirping the whole game. Tim, you've always been on this side of this. The way the ushers are at Busch Stadium and stuff, come on, you know what I'm talking
about.
But
you're talking about getting thrown out at the Scott Trade Center, and I wasn't there, so I can't speak to it, so I'm not going to speculate. I'll hear you out, obviously. You're getting plenty of time on the topic. So are you saying somebody accosted you and you responded? Is that how you're framing this?
Yeah, I was chirping because I had a Blackhawk sweatshirt on. And
what did he say to you? I thought you said this was the old couple.
Yes, they're sitting there chirping the whole game. And then finally, into the period and a half, I turn around and say, you don't know a thing about hockey. They were directing their comment. They were saying them out loud, not directly to me, but they were directed at me. So I finally respond, and old grandma turns around and calls the policeman right over.
A policeman?
Who couldn't just tell me to not say anything. He had to stand there and make a show for about 3 minutes. And I didn't say a word back to him. He kept going on. And they said, and if you don't leave, I'm going to throw you out for trespassing if you say another word to these people. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, you're not really supposed to.
My buddy even texted me. He said Hawks fans getting tossed left and right again.
Well, stop yelling at Blues fans then, and you won't get tossed.
It's our barn.
Oh, come on, Doug. This St. Louis mentality is ridiculous.
Well, you think you should be able to come in and yell at the other fans? You can't
did
do
I say
that.
I yelled?
Well, I assume that you did. Well, I did. You
Doug,
talked.
He'd be a horrible, horrible attorney. I turned around and said, "You don't know a thing about hockey."
Are you telling me you politely turned around and, in a soft voice, said, "You guys don't know anything about hockey"?
That's seductive.
I didn't whisper, but I turned around and said, "You don't know a thing about hockey," just like that.
Yeah.
And I'm about to get thrown out of the building because I have a red shirt on. You know, you guys are waiting for. You know, it's just the whole thing with the national anthem too. You got Hawks fans are so disrespectful because they yell and cheer during the national anthem. Do you even know where that derives from, what that stands for? And do you know that every European soccer team does the same thing?
Well, we're not in Europe, are we? And we're not watching soccer, are we?
I'm telling you, this St. Louis sissy mentality has got to go.
Sissy.
You need to not let any Blues fans in the building.
Because you want to be a tough guy and argue with older fans there.
It's not being a tough guy. It's had enough of their ignorance for the sport of hockey. When you got a fan sitting there going, look at Patrick Kane, look at that wuss, he won't even go into the corner and dig the puck out. He's not paid to go into the corner and dig the puck out. I mean, learn the game. You cheer every single hit, every big hit the Blues fans are cheering. Watch a Hawks game at home. They don't cheer hits, they cheer goals. They cheer,
because Hawks fans know everything about hockey and Blues fans know nothing about hockey.
Hey, like I said earlier, now I know what a Cardinal fan deals with Cubs fans.
Yeah. Well, just don't be so obnoxious when you go to the games and everything will be fine.
Well, if you guys don't want to hear anything, then sit in a bubble in your living room and watch the game. Don't leave your house if you're scared.
Ooh, that sounds like my
weekend. Nobody's scared of you. We're saying just don't be obnoxious.
I am.
Oh, God. I mean, can't a fan pay his money and go there and cheer for his team?
Absolutely you can. What you can't do is turn around and start screaming at other fans.
Didn't say I screamed, Doug.
Well, you were berating them. You said something to them that they obviously didn't like.
But they're allowed to chirp the whole game. I mean, this is going in circles with you now.
Well, you're saying you can chirp. You're saying you want to yell and scream, but if somebody else does it, you have a problem with it.
And I tell you what, I didn't see any Blues fans getting thrown up, but you can't tell me that every Hawks fan being tossed out left and right, it's all their fault. Give me a break.
Well, I don't know why every Hawks fan got thrown out. I expect there weren't very many that got thrown out.
Yes, there's been. Yes, there was, Doug. Lots. Lots and lots. Take some other calls on the topic if anybody saw it. I mean, I'm telling you, other fans have seen it.
I'll tell you what.
I've seen chokeholds being pulled out.
I'm going to have Elliot Davis get all over the story and investigate.
I don't even know who you are, but you're seriously not funny, man.
but you are.
I didn't try to be funny. I didn't come on here trying to be funny. I came on here to address the St. Louis Usher situation that's carried over from Cardinals games into the Scott Trade Center now. It's ridiculous.
Well, we like to behave ourselves at the game. We don't like to be so obnoxious to other fans.
I've let it go on for a while here. That'll do it. Thank you.
God, he got me.
He didn't even know who you are.
I know. That one hurts.
Doug, maybe Matt can clear it up. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt. Hello, Matthew.
Oh, God, I'm crying. Oh, jeez. Oh, that was good. So he wore a red shirt to Scott Trade and got kicked out. Is that how it worked out?
Well, I don't think he did get kicked out. I think he just got a scolding by the policeman because he turned to a couple of elderly folks and told them they didn't know anything about hockey.
He's a Blackhawks fan. He probably slapped him around. Cops came up, took care of him.
Yeah, probably had it coming.
Well, Doug, I'm calling in because your riddle the other night. You said the Blackhawks better start working on their slice because it's going to end tonight on the Scott Trade ice.
Right.
Any comments?
Well, I guess it didn't, did it? Maybe.
No, it didn't.
Maybe it will tomorrow. It's just a poem, too, by the way. I wouldn't get too worked up about it.
I'm just kidding. Right. But I do have a serious question. You know, time and again, and I mean, granted, I'm a young fellow, somewhat, but it just seems like every year, time and again, this happens. We get right on the edge, and then it's just like a kick to the it's a size 12 to the seed. It really is. Every time, and it feels like this is happening again. Tim's talked about it. Just
I don't know, Matt. I understand where you're
talking
coming from.
Listen,
Matt. I appreciate the call. It's kind of weird too, I think this is different. And this is different mathematically in 2013, 2014, and 2015. They weren't on the threshold, you know. They lost in six games. Now, granted, going up 2-0 in the first two series, but I think it's different. And I think I know the word gets thrown around to the point that I feel it might be like a cliche now, but the resilience the team has shown in responding to deficits in every game but game one is phenomenal. And that's why I think it's different this year. You know, but I don't blame Blues fans for being full of anxiety because of history. Let's see what Kelly Chase has to say. He is brought to you by GFI Digital. Chaser, I'm sorry. I don't know how long you were on hold, and I'm sure it wasn't a pleasant experience.
It's all good. What's going on, boys?
Well, do you think it's? I think this team's different, and I don't think that's just speaking from the heart. I truly feel it's different. I understand anxiety after having the opportunity last night, but I think it's different this year. What do you think?
Well, I think so. I mean, I honestly thought that might have been the most chances they had in a game. Was last night. Corey Crawford was outstanding, especially in the overtime period. And, you know, the game didn't end the way the Blues fans wanted it to end, certainly. But if you would have said you were going to have three cracks at knocking off the defending Stanley Cup champions, you'd take it. So you're right about the resiliency of this group. It certainly was doom and gloom going in for the third. And yet they came out in the third period and got themselves into a game. I think, it was a heck of a hockey game, obviously, last night. There were chances there. The thing that Blues have done in the past in the other games when they had chances to take advantage of a situation, whether it be a scoring chance, a power play, so on, they did it. Last night, with that too many men on the ice, Chicago clearly made a blunder. And that's where the Blues have been that's where they've been able to make the Chicago Blackhawks pay. They didn't do that last night on that power play, obviously. And then yet they took it to him in the first overtime, and Corey Crawford was strong. Those things are going to happen. I do believe that, that the Blues have have things going for them in their locker room they haven't had in the past.
You think a game like that is difficult to bounce back from, or is it all forgotten once the next game starts?
I think this group does a really good job of putting it behind them. If anybody thought this thing would have been over in five and the Hawks were going to lose two games at home, then, you know, you just wouldn't have believed it anyway. So this is maybe where this series is supposed to be. I think the Blues are tough to beat three times in a row and by the same team. And yet, you know, who knows the way this series has been. It's been that close. A little bounce here or there, a little bit of luck here or there, and things work out your way or they work out differently. Last night they didn't get the break they needed. A little bit of a breakdown in their own end of the ice. It won the opportunity of winning faceoffs and had a chance to clear, and they didn't. So, you know, I imagine they'll go right back to the same mindset they've had in the last two games in Chicago.
Chaser, do you think, does momentum matter much at all in series like this? It would seem that Chicago gets it back with the win last night, and then they're going back home, obviously, Andrew Shaw coming back. Do you think that matters at all, or is that just kind of talk, and then once the puck drops, it's just another hockey game?
No, I think it matters. I think it does matter, but how quickly you can grab it back is important.
Yeah.
And this team has been good at that, and they've been really good at setting stuff behind them and going after, you know, attacking again. So, I expect that to happen tomorrow night.
Kelly Chase, our guest right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. He is brought to you during the Stanley Cup playoffs by GFI Digital. They have you covered from office IT solutions to copiers, equipment, and supplies. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. It's GFIDigital.com. I'm curious about this, and anytime I have you on, we had Matthew Barnaby on to start the 8 o'clock hour. You guys who've played the game are able to see things that the average fan isn't able to see. I feel like this thing has been so evenly matched. I don't think it's a stretch to say either one of the teams could have won all five games, and I don't recall a series like that. Somebody texted in 96 against the Red Wings where it was tight in every single game and unfortunately ended the way that it did. That's the last time you've had a series where you really haven't had breathing room, maybe with the exception, Chaser, of about 6-7 minutes in the United Center in the third period of game four. But other than that, I mean, this has just been nonstop. And of the 400 or so minutes of hockey that's been played, I don't think there's been more than a handful of minutes in which one of the teams had a two-goal lead or more. It's been either one goal or tied the entire time. The caliber of play is so good and intense, and it's been that way since the start of the series all the way through game five. Your thoughts, sir?
No, I agree. It's little plays that happen and little things where you, like whether it be a save in either end of the ice or a goal that's scored, you talked about momentum and it's shifting. Well, that's the momentum swing. But it's happened 10, 12 times in a game where a team is like hemmed in for a while. Ken Hitchcock called a timeout prior to that goal. And, I mean, the Blues didn't have an icing, so they really need to use it then. I think he just felt like, look, the momentum was swinging in Chicago's favor, and I want to get the right matchup. And unfortunately, that's, you know, the result was it ended up in their net anyway, but on that same shift. But I can tell you, it has been like that the entire series, where the momentum swings have been 10, 12 different times in a hockey game because of how tight they've been matched. And it's really... It really is a close match, and one of those situations where I don't know what to put. If somebody said give me a prediction, I have no idea. You get a feel being around the room. I have no idea. I asked Kirk Muller last night before the game. I go, "We all right in there?" He goes, "Yeah, we're good. We're good." And that was it. I mean, I have no feel for what might happen because of how close these games have been.
Chicago did a pretty good job on Tarasenko last night. It seemed like he was a little bit quiet. I see he played like 10 minutes less than Brouwer and Stastny. Is that because the Blues are trying to get matchups against Chicago's big guns?
Yeah, I think a little bit had to do with matchups maybe. A little bit had to do with maybe the the way the penalties played out. Vladdy's not a penalty killer, and I think when you play that many that long that that's what's going to happen. But certainly the matchup with Taze, Kane, and Panic was the Stastny line, and he kept running them out there, and we didn't play against that line as much.
Kelly Chase, our guest here on the Appliance Discounters phone lines. Blues, Blackhawks tomorrow. It's a 7 o'clock start. Pat Foley on the Blackhawks broadcast, very critical of the start times. We've discussed it with you before. It's a shame just from a standpoint, first off, from a fan standpoint, especially young fans who aren't able to stay up for it. But how much is a guy who played the game, Chaser, does that alter the players' routines?
Well, I think it does change their routine, certainly. I don't know. Obviously it's for TV, but I don't know anyone that likes it. The fans certainly hate it, and the players hate it. I don't know exactly. You've got to cater to those needs of the bill payers. But it is an adjustment. It's a anxiety. Listen, the only time where they are most comfortable is when we're in that confines of that 200x85 ring. And that's when you're most comfortable. And the rest of the day, you got anxiety, and you just want to get out there and play. And I think it works on different guys at different times, but unfortunately, we grabbed a couple of these late games, and that is tough, and it is an adjustment.
GFI Digital makes it possible after every Blues game. During the Stanley Cup playoffs, GFI Digital presents Kelly Chase. They have you covered from office IT solutions to copiers, equipment, and supplies. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. GFIDigital.com. Hey, Chaser, before I let you go, who wound up getting the tickets for you and Panger in the podcast? Who was the retweet?
You know what? I was afraid you were going to ask me that, because I think the young lady's name is Ashley, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, was it retweeted Ice-T, maybe 3.5 million retweets?
Ice-T? Wow.
Yeah, I want to say that's who it was.
Doug, you're friends with
Ice-T. I might
be
wrong because, you know me, I don't follow this real well. I'm technologically challenged.
Hold on,
it was MC Hammer.
Plowboy just put Run DMC up on the board. It was MC Hammer. Why do you think it was Run DMC? This is the Plowhawk, because he picked the Blackhawks in 7 games, Chaser.
I knew there was a hammer in there at some point, so I did. That's the first thing that came to my head.
Well, but Run DMC doesn't have a hammer in it.
Okay, you're right, Tim.
you're always
it's a good
right
cross-examination right there, Chaser.
Sounded like a little bit of stern there.
Chaser, we always appreciate it, man. Hopefully we are celebrating tomorrow around 10 o'clock. It would be something else. Enjoy Chicago, sir, and hopefully a series clincher.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take it easy. Here's Kelly Chase, brought to you by GFIDigital.com. GFI Digital. We use GFI Digital. Please use GFI Digital. You know what you need to do, Doug? Support the sponsors. You don't support the sponsors. You don't go to Salt and Smoke. You don't do business with Ryan Kelly.
I did do business with Ryan Kelly.
Prove me wrong.
He most certainly refinanced my loan.
Well, there you go. Charlie, you do business.
I haven't been to Salt and Smee, but I've eaten the
You haven't
food.
Had when he brings it in?
Yeah.
There's delivery services that'll drive it to your house. Why don't you sail in tomorrow night, get some Salt and Smoke for the family. John Vaughn would be so grateful.
Why do you think I won't? I've got a date tomorrow night, Tim, with Lady Journalism.
Oh.
MC Hammer, 3.6 million followers.
And MC Hammer retweeted the Chase and Pang podcast thing, and that got a young lady tickets to the Blues and Blackhawks Game 5.
Yep.
Wow. That's
2 days ago.
I got Caden Cross, and I was in the lead. Then somebody got Dennis Leary, and then Roderick got Jim Ross. Damn it, why?
Best Damn it, why?
But MC Hammer...
I'm actually surprised MC Hammer has that many followers.
Yeah, I am too. What does he tweet out, cock pics? If he does, consider it 3.6 million.
Follows 70,000 people.
He follows. Oh, well, that's the trick. He's one of those guys. It's like Phil Ivey started following me. Jose Bautista started following you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, must be big fans of the show.
Sure.
Oh, they follow everybody in order to get their follower count up. So they have somebody on the staff who just goes around Twitter and clicks follow. That's the deal. I don't follow everybody. Hell, are you still blocked by Doug, Charlie?
I think so, Doug.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Is that going to change?
Yeah. There was a bit of vileness.
Not really. You're just very sensitive.
A bit of mean-spiritedness involved with some of the tweets, and I just thought that
you needed to be disciplined a little bit.
You've also blocked Kat.
That's right. Same reason.
That you work with on a daily basis.
The people I wouldn't expect to be vile and mean-spirited.
I think you need to thicken up that skin a little bit, buddy.
Well, I think you need to clean up your tweeting.
Nice take. Mm-hmm.
I don't tweet much anyway. You're not missing anything, Chuck.
I feel like you should, though. You should tweet more because you're very funny. You're more active on Facebook, I've noticed.
Are you?
Not really.
But you post
really
funny videos.
Oh, I do that. I pictures. Share videos and that kind of thing.
You ought to get on the fan page.
I don't go there very often, Tim.
They'd love it.
I joined it. Just every. I don't look at it very often, Tim.
You would have been able to see those two guys making out after the back.
That's why I don't look at it very often, Tim. Hmm.
I deleted myself from the fan page, and I really feel like it's improved my life.
I bet it has. Just kind of cleans things up. You just feel a little tidier.
But also, for whatever reason, and I'm not a computer person either, but I wasn't able to fix the fact that every time I logged on Facebook, it would notify me like anytime anybody on the fan page said anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd look and it'd be like 50 notifications.
Yeah.
All with great takes, too.
No.
For the most part, yes.
No.
Hot takes.
Mm-mm.
It's been all Blues and Blackhawks this morning, really, for the most part. But we have fun with audio, and that's presented by Llewellyn's Pub. Llewellyn's Pub's the place to be no matter what the occasion may be. Delicious from scratch food, prepared daily. Great drink specials, including game time specials, and an amazing atmosphere. What more could you want? How about brunch? Llewellyn's, Soulard, Webster, Wildwood, and St. Charles all offer brunch every weekend from 9:30 to 2. Save yourself the hassle and hop on Llewellyn's trolley to the game from Soulard. And stay tuned to learn how you can win a chance. How about this? A chance to throw out the first pitch at a Cardinal game later this year. Wow.
That'd be fun.
Pub. Celtic for good times. You'd say Celtic.
Yeah, when did we start pronouncing it Celtic? It was Celtic for years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I think it was the Keon Dueling era.
And we just decided it sounds cooler if we call it Celtic.
Tough and cool. Here is our fun with audio presented by Llewellyn's. Doug, a reporter giving Jonathan Papelbaum a new nickname, but I'm not sure it took.
All right. Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Thank you very much, Johnny. Jonathan, you get into quite a battle there with Giancarlo Stanton as the tying run in that situation. What's your approach against him there?
First of all, did you just call me Johnny Jonathan?
Johnny,
did I?
We'll have to review the tape.
He just called me Johnny Jonathan.
Maybe we got a new nickname. I don't know.
No, I'll just mess with you. What was your question?
Quato, really Grato.
Wow.
Boy. Good stuff.
Got your own nicknames to dole out, haven't you?
That's the reporter. Is it Masson that does the Nationals games? And a lot of times he gets hit with the friendly fire of the chocolate sauce that they dump on each other, Scherzer and
Harper.
Yeah,
Scherzer's
and all
in
that.
It, and it's his thing.
He's not the one who asked a clown question, bro, is he?
I don't think so.
Man, at Harper raking.
Yeah, I wish I would have taken Bryce Harper instead of Mike Trout.
Oh, you had the number one overall
fantasy.
Pick?
Really? I didn't like having the number one pick. I hate my
pressure.
Team, by the way.
I think Harper's better than Trout now. Certainly off to a much better start. And Harper's still,
what do you think
like,
about the Southside team going undefeated this year with the 72 Dolphins?
You're going to lose this week.
Not.
Yes, you are.
Up against the non-gay.
But you're losing.
Well, that's fine, baby.
Okay.
There's three more nights of play.
Time's running out. Your time is short atop the standings.
Doug, nice audio, loser. It's from Dave, St. Peter's.
Well, I didn't pick the audio.
Guys, I want to delete the fan page, but I've got a crush on Becky. Thanks, Alonzo.
Who's Becky?
One of our many female listeners.
There's not many female listeners. There just aren't that I've seen.
I think a lot of spouses, significant others, have kind of picked up the show.
They don't.
Through their boyfriends, husbands, and such.
I don't think so.
I'm telling you. My fiance, she's probably listening right now. She loves the show.
Why?
Doug, look at that.
She loves the show. She thinks it's funny.
Take that, Doug.
Plus them on your little gay page.
See there?
You
spend a lot of time on that fan page, too?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Was active on there last night. Active as the day is long.
Doing what?
I don't know. While the game's going on, just BSing with people. Mm. Plus, there's an article in the Post-Dispatch this morning. It came up last night, and when it first went up, there was something in there that was not accurate, and so I had to call Dan Caesar, and I said, Dan, that's not true. Please correct it. So he did correct it within 15 minutes, but it was an important. So we were discussing that, and just to address it, because it's not like, you know, now that it's been made public, I feel like I have to address it. Usually business negotiations are private until a deal is signed. Like with our sales staff, for example, I say, don't count a deal on our books until the deal is signed. So I don't count anything until it is signed. But starting in early February, and I didn't even tell you guys about this. I didn't even tell the cat and Doug about all the stuff that was going on until, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago maybe? And it's awkward, but, I mean, it's the only way to make sure that things are kept private. And that's just the way that I found it's the best way to try to operate. But we were contacted, and I have no idea why, Doug, because I didn't even know people really listened to the show or was aware that it existed.
Uh-huh.
But in early February, we were contacted by several stations, which from a timing standpoint was a bit, first off, it was very unique. We've had people reach out in the past, but not as many stations within like a matter of 2 weeks. I think it was almost all while we were down at spring training. I guess those that interview with
Troy Glaus.
We have anybody?
Troy Glaus in 2008 yeah. that we replayed when the remote went down, really caught the attention of stations in the area. So anyway, we've been in conversations with multiple stations dating back to then, and that's the way that it would work. It takes a long time if a deal's going to get done, and I don't know what's going to wind up happening. As Doug knows, Doug was asking me, what do you think's going to happen last night? We were texting back and forth. I don't know, but until something is done, it's how we have to operate. We're going to continue we're going to continue doing the show. It's just a matter of how everything will play out. So ideally, things wouldn't be made public. Unfortunately, they were. But since they were, that's the background of the situation for those of you who are interested. Doug, but as far as the show goes, the show will remain. Oh, yes.
We have to keep doing it?
Yep. As a matter of fact, a lot of people are interested in it. I'm sorry to tell you.
For what purpose, you suppose?
It's my dad says it's really good.
Oh, that I think we just stumbled on the key to the whole thing.
So you think my dad was out there?
Dad,
could you do me a
favor
and call Timmy and act like you're interested in the show?
Yeah, or it was him throwing his voice, claiming to be from other stations.
Okay.
He's got that amazing radio show.
Thank you, Matt.
That no one listens to.
The caller ID, was it your dad's number?
You go back
and
look.
But I just figured that was...
No, go back and look. I think it was probably him throwing his voice. Timmy, you're the greatest.
Well, he's been doing this now for 3 months.
Yeah.
Is Doug still going to be on the show?
I'm hoping not.
Yeah, me too.
I'm available. Just saying.
Getting up at 5 in the morning, this is a treat.
I don't get up at 5. I
get
up
at
6:20.
I love... What time is it? Never know when I can start talking and when I got to go to break. I love my hour or so that I'm up and I have nothing. The only time my phone's going to go off is the wonderful Sea Monster Plowboy sending me an email or text. Or maybe Doug saying he's lost.
That's I could never do that.
Oh, I love it. I sit there and I drink coffee and I have the Hustler channel on. I don't know why I do. They've been playing a lot of grandma stuff, though, lately. So I really don't get that. I mean, everybody's
got
their thing.
You don't have to watch it.
I know, but then I don't know what to watch.
Well, how about the Today Show? How about the Good Morning America? How about something that put a smile on your face?
Grandma's what, 37?
No, but like 40s, honestly, okay. And just a little bulky.
No.
Just a little.
News 4 this morning would be a good show for you to watch,
yep.
Tim.
Well, I guess maybe that might have to do when they do the grandma thing. Oh, I'm telling you, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And it really pisses me off. It starts my day off on the wrong foot if at 5:15 when I turn on the Hustler channel, they're running the grandma stuff.
Oh.
Doesn't that do that for you? Anybody else?
I don't
314-880-0808.
No, I don't have that channel, Tim.
It's just not my bag. Everybody's got their thing.
Do you wake up kind of because you're kind of in a Randy mood? You want to watch that? Or is it just kind of funny part of your routine?
I honestly have no idea. Anna Marie doesn't like it. I totally understand.
Yeah, why would she?
But, like, for real, and I have no idea. It's like white noise to me. It's on in the background. Like, if you could see into our living room, there's porn on all the time, but it's not like I'm sitting there pleasuring myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not to say that I'm not, but it's not like I am all the time. And I want that on the record.
What do guests think when they come in and visit the house?
Nobody's allowed in the house. You know that.
No one comes in.
You know that. Charlie's been to the house.
I've been to the outside of the house.
Right, because nobody's allowed in.
What are you doing there?
I dropped him off once.
That's right.
From Billy G's.
Okay. We got a pony up there.
Let's do it.
We got a pony up. You got to work tomorrow?
I don't. I'll tell you what. I have an event tomorrow night, but I'm free during the day.
Oh, could be a wiffle ball day.
Yeah.
Weather's going to be sick. Doug, come over and play wiffle ball.
I can't. I'm working.
Plowhawks on my team.
And then I'll make everybody mad, or at least half the people mad.
Why?
But Sunday I'm going to see that Bill Maher.
So am I.
So is Martin. Let's all get together before.
Sweet action.
Let's do this.
Yeah, that was Anna Marie's, birthday or, yeah, birthday.
That
birthday.
Was Jess's birthday gift. Look at or not dumb, birthday.
This is fun.
Whatever it was, anniversary or Christmas or something.
This is fun.
Mm-hmm. Flaming liberals. See, Bill Maher.
He's not a flaming liberal.
Oh, he is, too.
No, he's not. You don't watch his show if you think he's a flaming liberal.
He's really more.
He's pretty reasonable, actually.
I think he's liberal.
He's got a few issues. Oh, he's clearly liberal.
He's liberal, yeah.
Flaming. I'll go ahead and say flaming.
He cares about pot and the environment and
shrubs. All right, we got to, speaking of shrubs, Tease Farms, the official shrubs. We know we have a shrub sponsor now, Charlie.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Thank you.
You guys have arrived.
Tease Farms, the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After and the sponsor of the 9 o'clock hour. Send your emails in because we're giving away 4 tickets to WWE Raw, courtesy of Joe Roderick, for our Email of the Day prize. Huge prize. Ratchet up the game on the emails. Greg Warren, comedian, and St. Louisin will be in studio coming up here on the other side of the break. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After.